We're looking at Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. And we're talking today about the theme that Paul has been discussing through several chapters. And that is thinking about other people and not oneself. Sacrificing and giving up for a better cause and for a higher reason. This is Christian unselfishness, and we're going to see Paul talk about that again today. Now, Paul, back in chapter 2, verse 4, said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then he gave several examples of looking out for others instead of looking at oneself. He gave the example of Jesus, who left heaven so that he could come to the earth for us. That's chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Then he talked about Timothy, who was a man who was so concerned about the church at Philippi that Paul says there was nobody else like him that had that kind of care. Then he talked about Epaphroditus. This was a man who was a messenger of the church at Philippi who almost died in his service for the Apostle Paul and for the cause of Christ. He did not regard his life. He was not thinking about himself. He was thinking about helping other people. And now, in chapter 3, we come to the Apostle Paul himself. The Apostle Paul gave up a great deal in order to become a Christian. He gave up a past that had great advantages, and we're going to look at that past today, beginning in Philippians 3, starting in verse 3. Paul said, "For we," that is Christians, "are the circumcision, in a spiritual sense, Jews circumcised in a physical sense, but the Bible tells us in Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12, that when we're baptized, we are circumcised in a spiritual sense, because in baptism, our sins are put away." So the Bible says in verse 3 of Philippians 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit," that is, in our human spirit, "from our hearts." The Bible says in John 4, verse 24, that Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And notice that he also says in verse 3, that we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, by the flesh here, he's talking about the way that Jews looked at themselves, and especially the way that these false teachers looked at themselves. The Jews, in general, had confidence in their fleshly nature as far as being the descendants of Abraham was concerned. They oftentimes talked about that. In John chapter 8, verse 33 and 39, they made sure that they told Jesus that they were the descendants of Abraham. They said, "Abraham is our father." And when you read Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, it's obvious that oftentimes they were arrogant about the fact that they were the chosen people of God, that they were a light to those who were in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. They rested in the law, and they made their boast of God. That's how Paul describes them in Romans chapter 2. But we also find here in Philippians chapter 3 that Paul is not just talking about unbelieving Jews in general. He's talking about these Judaizing teachers in the church. They had that kind of attitude to a further degree, because they wanted the Gentiles to comply with the teaching of the law of Moses. And that's why they told those Gentile men that they couldn't even be saved unless they were circumcised and kept the law of Moses. So they had confidence in the flesh. From the standpoint that they were the descendants of Abraham, they had confidence in the flesh from the standpoint also that they required of these Gentiles that they comply with the law of Moses specifically and especially on the point of circumcision. Now, what Paul does, beginning in verse 4, is to tell these people that he was way ahead of these Jews, and especially these Jewish teachers in the church, as far as earthly advantages and as far as his past was concerned. If they wanted to brag, if they wanted to boast about the fact that they were Jews, Paul said, if I wanted to boast, if I wanted to brag about my background, I could do that. What does Paul mean by this? What is he talking about as far as his background is concerned? Well, he's going to tell us, beginning in verse 5. But before we read those verses, let's go back, especially to the book of Acts, and let's look at some complimentary verses, some verses that help us to understand why Paul is saying this. Now, the attainments and the advantages that Paul had before he became a Christian may not mean much to you, because we can't relate to a lot of these things. The Jews put a lot of stock in what Paul is talking about, and oftentimes they prided themselves. These were real advantages and badges of honor and marks of distinction in the Jewish nation. So try to relate to what Paul is saying here from the standpoint of a Jew in the first century. Let's go back to Acts chapter 22, and we're going to read Acts 22, beginning in verse 3. Here's where Paul is telling his story about his background. Paul said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Now that was a famous rabbi in the city of Jerusalem, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. Paul was not just your average, everyday Jew, and he certainly was not a half-hearted Jew. He put his heart and his soul and his life into his religion and into his country. Even though his religion and his actions were wrong, he was sincere about that. He was conscientious, even though he was mistaken. Now then, let's look at Acts 23, verse 6. Here's where the Bible says, But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. So Paul came from a line of people that were very zealous as far as their traditions were concerned. Then in Acts chapter 26, verse 5, Paul said, Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now, in modern English, that might be incorrect, and it might be something that seems to be awkward or odd. But what Paul is saying here in Old King James English is that he lived after the strictest sect. That is, the Pharisees were the strictest group of these Jews, and Paul said, that's how I live my life. Then, in Galatians chapter 1, notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. He said, For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So Paul said that he had advanced above others that were his equals, that is, people his own age. Paul had climbed the ladder in the Jewish nation and in the Jewish religion, and he was far ahead of those who were his peers. So with those verses in mind, let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, and let's notice some things that Paul says. Paul says that if these Judaizing teachers want to brag about something, he says, if I wanted to boast, I could do that. And in verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day. Paul was circumcised the eighth day because the law of Moses required that. Now, these people that we're talking about, the Judaizing teachers, made a big issue of circumcision, and they made sure that people knew about that. Paul said, if you want to talk about that issue, I complied with the law of Moses exactly as it was written. Not only that, he says, I am of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. It was important for a Jew to know which tribe he had descended from. And Paul says, I know. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I am an Hebrew of the Hebrews. That is, I am pure-blooded. I am a full-blooded Hebrew. I'm not mixed in any way. He says, as touching the law, concerning the law of Moses, I was a Pharisee. And as we've already seen, that was regarded among the Jews as the strictest religion in Israel. Not only that, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul is not trying to defend what he did here. He's not trying to say that he was right in persecuting Christians. He's simply saying that as far as zeal in the Jewish mindset was concerned, he was a zealous person. He was a very sincere and devout Jew. And not only that, he says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul doesn't say that he was sinless, but he was living a life in accordance with the law of Moses as best that he possibly could. And he was living a righteous life according to the law of Moses. He was sincere and conscientious about what he was doing. Now, what Paul is saying is that even though he had all of those advantages and all of those earthly attainments, he gave that up. Again, that may not mean very much to you. It may not be something that you can really relate to, but try to put yourself into the shoes of a first century Jew, because to them, these attainments that Paul is talking about were exceptional. And the attainments that he's describing here would not only give him recognition, but would enable him to have a good position, that is a good job, and good pay. Now, Paul gave all of that up. And the Bible says that his attitude about that, in sacrificing all those attainments in his background, is this. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I have given up all these things that I've talked about, and he says, but I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. These things don't mean anything to me now. Paul didn't look back at all the sacrifices that he made to become a Christian and have regrets. Paul didn't say, well, I wish I hadn't turned my back on some of the advantages and some of the potentials that I had. Paul had no regrets. He didn't look behind. He looked forward, as we're going to read in just a few minutes. But notice this. He says that I gave all of this up so that, verse 9, I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul gave up a great deal in order to become a Christian. People in the first century oftentimes gave up much in their background in order to be converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this reminds us of Moses back in the Old Testament. I believe that Moses is a great example of what Paul is talking about here, because the Bible says that in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.